Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith. And with the Lord's help, we're going to conclude a message I've been sharing on consecration, the vow of the Nazarite. And we've been looking at Numbers, the sixth chapter, especially those first eight verses, which talks about a man or a woman who would separate themselves taking the vow of the Nazarite, which had three requirements: to abstain from wine, strong drink, or anything associated with them, such as grapes or raisins. Their hair must not be cut, and they must not touch or come near a dead body. And we wanted to make application for our lives today. Is there any significance for the New Testament believer? Well, just by way of quick review, we see that the vow was voluntary, that it was an entire complete vow. It was not half-hearted. They were willing to go all the way in consecration to the Lord. It was an open profession, which was one of the reasons they didn't cut their hair. It was a sign that they were consecrated to the Lord in this vow. And of course, it involves great self-denial. The fruit of the vine might be sweet, but they couldn't touch it. If a close family member died, they couldn't see them or go near them to bury them. Those were things that involved great self-denial. And also, it involved a life of holiness. Verse 8 says, all the days of his separation, he is holy to the Lord. And we see applications in the Aaronic priesthood, and of course, even more beautifully in the very life of our high priest, Jesus, where he was set apart as to represent God's people before the throne of grace. In fact, he ever lives now to make intercession for us. And so, This consecration is a gift from God. We grow in grace, but it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that sanctifies and sets us apart. It means a life of holiness, and we can't grow into the promise of the Spirit. Galatians 3:14 says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, as I bring this message to a close, the last point I'd like to share with you, that this vow was unto the Lord. Well, that might sound obvious, but in verse 8 it says, all the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. The Nazarite, think about this, he wasn't making his vow to make himself odd, to be talked about among his fellow men, to satisfy pride and ego, to be quote-unquote different, but the reason he or she was doing it was because they were seeking a deeper relationship with God. Paul was a Nazarite unto the gospel of Christ. Actually, what does it say in Romans, that first chapter, verse 1, Paul, he identifies himself, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And that carries the meaning of being totally devoted unto the Lord. What does it mean to be devoted to the Lord? It means to belong completely, absolutely, totally to the Lord. Now, that word might be familiar to you if you've been reading Joshua at all lately. There was a place, a location, a city called Jericho, which was to be devoted unto the Lord. Joshua 6:17 says, the city shall be devoted and all that is therein unto the Lord. Now, what did that mean? Well, that was the very first city, if you recall, in Canaan land that they took, and it was a miraculous sign and wonder to all the inhabitants of Canaan, because it was the Lord gave them the city. They walked around it, remember, for 7 days. The seventh day they walked around seven times, and they shouted to the Lord, for the Lord gave them the city. The walls just fell down flat, and everything in it was devoted to the Lord for destruction. All the precious metals, the iron and the bronze vessels, they were sacred unto the Lord, and they went into the treasury of the Lord. But you remember, there was one Israelite by the name of Achan, and it talks about his sin. He seized the enemy's goods and thereby flagrantly disobeyed God's express command. And we see this as a very solemn warning that we should never appropriate for selfish use what has been devoted to God. Every offering laid upon the altar was devoted to God. And, you know, beloved, if I could just pause for a moment and just take a little bit of a side, if you will. To me, the offerings that come in from God's people always, and that has been true with Brother Glass and I, those are very precious and very sacred before the Lord. Whether they're a large offering or even, you know, there are some dear UCM partners that have faithfully sent a dollar every month. And that's precious before the Lord and precious to my heart, because they have very little, but they're willing to share, as the widow did, those two mites. Remember, Jesus said she has given of her very living, and he commended her. He saw her heart. She was giving out of her lack. And so things that are devoted, that's why to me it's such a terrible thing, any minister that would misuse the funds of God's people, because you know what? they're devoted to the Lord. And it would be a sacrilege in terms of something devoted in Old Testament times to take it back. Well, beloved, so are those things that we dedicate to the Lord, our lives, our finances. And remember in Exodus, the 21st chapter, verse 5, at the end of every 7 years, a servant, if they were a Hebrew, they could be released. But it might be that that servant loved their master. They didn't want to leave their master. They wanted to stay with them. Well, the master would then take that servant and bore their ear through. And as with that servant with a bored ear would forever become devoted to his master. And there's great application for us, because if we're willing to do that, we're saying, Lord, I want to forever be yours. Now, I want to go back to Numbers, the 6th chapter, and just share with you the conclusion of the vow. It's very interesting what is to be done at the conclusion of the vow, verses 13 through 21. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall offer his offering unto the Lord. And it goes on to specify what they are. A lamb without blemish, a basket of unleavened bread. He shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord. Verse 18, the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. And verse 20, the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This is holy for the priest, with the wave breast and the heave shoulder, and after that the Nazarite may drink wine. So it was the conclusion, if you will, of his vow. And so at the end of this stipulated period, he had to bring a complete range of Levitical sacrifice, the sacrifices that were designated, and that was apart from the guilt offering. He offered also a meat offering and a drink offering, which appear to have been presented by themselves as a distinct act of service. That's verse 17. He shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord with the basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. And then verse 18 that I read, that he was to shave the head of his separation. He was to cut off the hair of the, quote, head of his separation. That is, he was to cut off the hair which had grown during the period of his consecration. He was to cut it off at the door of the tabernacle and put it in the fire under the sacrifice on the altar. And this denotes, what does it speak to us? That the Nazarite's vow was something very precious in God's sight. And so the Nazarite vow, while there were physical external signs of that vow, yet it represents a spiritual condition. Again, what was that vow? It was voluntary, it was entire, it was an open profession, it was a life of holiness and self-denial. They were wholly devoted unto the Lord. And I believe God is raising up new covenant Nazarites today, if you will, that won't be satisfied with anything less. You know, there's a little chorus we used to sing years ago, "All He Wants Is You." Nothing else, no one else will do. Not just a part. He wants all of your heart. All He wants is you. Praise God. We're not our own, but we're bought with a price. Hear the word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 20. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So I feel the Spirit of God is just placing us on His altar. He's totally destroying by the fire of the Holy Spirit all of self, that we can be a pure offering unto the Lord. Remember Isaiah in the 6th chapter where he said, "I saw the Lord, He was high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And an angel of the Lord took a fire, a coal off the altar and placed it upon Isaiah's lips to cleanse and sanctify him." And he said, the Lord asked, "Who will go?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." The Lord's asking that of us today. Are we willing to live a consecrated life to the Lord that others might be brought to the beauty of Christ? Well, I believe He does have a people that are willing to do that. And in the final moments, as I bring this broadcast to a close, if you want to make this kind of consecration to the Lord, you know, it's a life of denial, a life of separation and consecration, I'll be willing and privileged to pray with you. The announcer is going to give you our contact information, and I look forward to receiving your letters. Dear UCM family, partners, thank you so much for your prayer support and for your financial gifts. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. I may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.